Alright, let's do this one more time. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. My name is Miles Morales. I was bitten by a radioactive spider. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. You're listening to the number one podcast in education across the Spider-Verse, Steambox. Are those my Jordans?
All right, this is Roberto. You're back with another Steambox podcast. Today, I am talking to my homies from Central Falls High School, the Warriors. Steampunks, Warriors from Central Falls. Please say what's up to the world.
What's up?
Some of you guys are probably tired right now. You guys just got back from a program called Kids in the Canyon, where you guys were in the Grand Canyon during your April break. No rest for the wicked. You guys are actually in the Grand Canyon, sweating, bleeding, taking scorpion venom, sucking scorpion venom out of each other's ankles.
It was more red ants than scorpions.
Red ants.
Yeah, it was red ants for the hermit and then scorpions for us.
Did you go?
Yeah.
Are you tired right now?
Not really.
We've got Mr. Blaze here too. Mr. Blaze, hello.
Hi.
Mr. Blaze assembles this crew once a year. You guys are going every year now, right?
The last 18 years.
For 18 years.
I'm that old.
He's so old.
You are that old. You haven't gone on all 18 trips. This was your first time.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Blaze, are you tired right now? Or
I am a little bit.
Yeah?
Yep.
Fatigued?
In a good way.
You flew across the country twice?
Yes.
Okay. I can't wait to hear about all the experiences. That's what today's podcast is about. I want to hear the best. I want to hear the worst. I want to hear about the red ants. I want to hear about sucking rattlesnake venom out of each other's kneecap. I want to hear all the things. You guys probably have a million questions. Before I get to Kids in the Canyon, what else is happening in our world for April vacation?
NBA playoffs.
The NBA playoffs. What's big in the NBA playoffs?
Golden State lost. Yes, sir.
Oh, I forgot.
I don't know what's going on.
You're the LeBron stan. I forgot about that.
So Curry ain't there no more. He's scared. Terrified.
I forgot.
2016, just imagine mine. Winning just to lose to the Nuggets first round.
You have to. That's too good.
A bunch of you were on PBS for the work that you're doing with Steambox. I know, Lewis, you got a lot of shine. Did anybody have any feelings about it? Was anybody scared, nervous, excited?
Nah.
Just another day.
Well, you didn't even see just it until day. I just walked in.
Yeah.
Just another day. You were in this COVID environment with the little robots and another student across from you blowing in each other's faces. Awesome. Blowing your COVID air into each other's faces. Just like,
I won until we was on camera.
Exactly, and then I won, so.
Us on camera. That's not her. That's crazy.
Vanessa saved it. Vanessa knows how to conserve her energy.
Exactly. So we got, I was just being smart about it.
Camera.
Really?
The wings don't matter. I'm coming back to conserving your energy in just a moment. Did you get a spanking because you were talking about your dad? You gave up some of your dad's family, like, toxicity? A little bit, like...
Surprisingly, I did not get in trouble, because I think my dad fell asleep while watching the video.
Hey, that's what PBS will do to you sometimes. That's a big win. I have to talk to my friend. If PBS hasn't done a thing yet, PBS needs to. They need to show the kids in the canyon. That needs to be a story, too. How much press have you guys gotten so far?
Not a lot. And that's partly due to that's my fault. I don't really... I'm kind of a one-man show, so and the kids will tell you that sometimes I'm very focused on safety first, last, and always. Fundraising, safety, and just the our three attendance attitude academics, and I've taken some criticism because of my lack of Facebook and my lack of... Anyway,
he doesn't know how to run those.
Nah.
You know, I have a bad memory, but the one thing that I remember the most was when you were asking me, like, how do you do it with the fundraising for our trips to stuff like Japan? And I did not have a good or clear answer for you because I kind of don't, right? Like, I fly by the seat of my pants, like, yep. we'll do it. All I care about is, like, the integrity of the work with the students with respect for each other's sides. We're working on the opposite because you listed fundraising and putting that forward, which is important because that's how we can pay for you guys to do stuff. And then the thing that I'm doing forward is the storytelling. I want to make sure that, like, the world knows the work that Chloe's doing this year or that Enzo did with our board game group. It's really interesting how our approaches, like our priorities, if we listed those 1, 2, 3 things, they were in the opposite order.
Yeah, I'd agree. I guess I'm just a little old school in that I...
We still love you.
You know, the Grand Canyon is an amazing place, but it does have the ability to inflict some harm if the kids aren't really... if their head isn't in the game, if they're not really prepared for it. And sometimes I say to myself, okay, you know what? You've got to respect the fact that they're young adults. They've worked really hard. I want to make sure I validate the effort. When we have our meetings at CrossFit, I'm like, guys, first thing is validate the effort. And I say that to them. I'm proud of you. You've worked hard. And I think the way that we've been raising funds over the years has really gotten better. And it's people have been very, very receptive to the kids' letters.
Yeah.
I send out a little kit of all the kids' letters. I write a letter. Our mentors write a letter. We send them out into the world. And people are like, and it's the same people, some small foundations, family foundations. So they send us a $5,000 grant. I've written some grants with Mentor Rhode Island, who's been a huge supporter of us. They really like the work that we're doing and the accomplishments that the kids have had. And I think we've gotten better with that. But as far as telling the world, yeah, I struggle with that. I do.
I have a full respect for everything you just said. I just do it different. And I know that I'm the weirdo. I understand that. So let me ask the group a question. Are you familiar with the term intrusive thoughts?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. When I looked over the canyon, I wanted to jump.
No one.
What?
I wanted to push Eli, you know, but he wasn't there. He wasn't there, so I kind of.
Okay. I wanted to poke my stick into a hole.
See, does anybody have non-canyon related intrusive thoughts or something that just they kind of like the middle of the night when you wake up and you're like, oh,
sometimes I want
that thing that I did in third grade. Listen. Sometimes you want to push your brother down the stairs.
No, out the window.
Out the window. What floor do you live on?
The third.
Is your brother a big guy?
No, I'm talking about my 3-year-old.
You said intrusive eyes. We can't help it.
I mean, it's dark. It's dark. I have dark intrusive thoughts. I understand. But one of the times that I have really scary intrusive thoughts is when we're on our trip. They'll have an alarm. Right? And I'll be like, what is this? Is this is Godzilla's coming? Like, do we have to go to a shelter? Like, what is happening? And I don't mean to do like an Asian stereotype thing with the Godzilla. I did just happen to see the Godzilla Apple TV show where they had alarms and bunkers. It's just a regular police car. But I'm also wondering, right? Like, I'm also Googling really quick, like, could there be a tsunami? Like, what are the dangers of the environment that I'm in? Things that we probably don't typically think about here. Did you have intrusive thoughts while you were with the students over the past 18 years?
Many.
Yes.
Grand Canyon is, it's a myriad of things that could go wrong, from tree branches falling, acts of, again, when we read our legal documents, you know, and they're lengthy, and the family has to come, and everyone signs, and, you know, what is an act of God? And there are just, it's, you know, in the Grand Canyon, there are many, many things that would fit, you know, quote unquote, an act of God. There's just a lot of things that could go wrong or even slightly wrong. You know, just getting up from a picnic table. Two of our students and one of our teachers sitting with a woman, she got up from a picnic table, twisted her ankle and had to be evac'd in the helicopter.
Just an ordinary thing.
At the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
Yep.
She hiked down and that ended her Grand Canyon experience.
When was this?
This was this year. Two of our students helped literally lift the litter and put her into the helicopter.
Wow.
She had to be airlifted out.
Oh, that scares the shit out of me. Like,
not hiking, not carrying a 30-pound backpack.
Yeah.
Not walking down or walking up the Devil's Corkscrew right by a rattlesnake end zone. You know,
did you pass the rattlesnake?
Yeah, apparently. Like, we were, there are 3 rattlesnakes.
You saw the rattlesnake?
I saw 2.
And he didn't, which is the scary part.
Because listen, it was like extremely dark. I was in there was two, we were basically split in 2 groups.
Yeah.
The actual fast group, which was like Alex, Chris, me, Alexi, and Vanessa's group.
Excuse me, I came on. I was right there.
His group had branding. It had a name. It had logo.
Of course it did. Of course it did.
That's crazy.
I'm joking. But it was just like every time we stopped, they'd catch up. And apparently, by what I heard, I stepped over a rattlesnake. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. I just kept going. I was way too tired to actually look.
Rattlesnake bites Enzo, and then where are you? What happens? What do you have to do?
Depending on where you are in the canyon, and this was a baby. So a baby will just keep injecting venom because they really do not. Yeah, that's a large pink. But anyways, getting back to the question, depending on where you are in the canyon, we were about 40 minutes from the ranger station in the middle of the canyon. So someone would go very quickly, or the first thing you do is take out your cell phone because we are right at the halfway mark.
Yep.
So there is some cell phone reception. So if something goes a little sideways or a lot sideways, it's either a hike back down to the river where there's a ranger station or a hike back up. Our other group on the Hermit had satellite communication. So if something goes, they hit an SOS button and it triangulates to where they are. So the cavalry will be sent. It might not be, you know, within an hour or two, but the authorities will be alerted that there was an SOS.
I'm a city boy, and I am so scared at everything you're telling me. Like, the fact that you had to call emergency services on this trip, and this was your most recent trip. Was this your only of the 18, or?
This was the emergency services that were called were for a lady that was not part of our group.
Oh, the twisted ankle person?
So Danica.
Oh, okay.
Danica, Alexi, and Chris were having, just at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, I think they were having lemonade and whatever, and the woman got up and caught her leg on the bar of the picnic table, and that ended her Grand Canyon experience.
Okay. I'm going to throw a sideways one at you. You talked about acts of God. We're protected, right? We understand things happen. Polar bear is suddenly in Grand Canyon because we're playing by lost rules, and it mauls to death Vanessa. But the paperwork already says acts of God. You know, if it's not a polar bear, and Vanessa, you know, just had an allergy attack or something, or something that like some of the kids were goofing around and maybe pushed her and she fell. You know, do you find a way to make it look like an act of God? Is this? Are you? No.
That's scary.
Done that.
Just straight up failed.
What's the answer to that? So the way to hide Vanessa's death.
That's crazy.
It's happened three times before.
Vanessa died three times.
Yeah.
Should have. Probably has. You ready? You make sure no one sees anything. You go behind.
If they do, you just give them a donut gift card?
Not really. You give them a Cliff Bar because, you know, everybody loves Cliff, right, Blaze? Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Cliff Bars. Yep. So you bribe everybody with Cliff Bars and then you make everyone look away. Tell Vanessa, oh, look, this is a really nice view. Push her and then you're good. GG.
No one's going to search for her in the canyon. There's a lot of hiking.
You can't even find the dead body because guess what? You can't go down to search for the body.
It's a lot of thought went into that.
There's some intrusive thought coming.
I don't think this is the first
motivating.
No, it's because of the part of the meeting. If someone falls down, you cannot retrieve or look for the body.
Yeah.
Like, while we're all dying, walking around Japan all day, I watched you have crazy energy, and you were just there with sugar and, like, a toadstool hat and doing all kinds of stuff. Does that transfer to the canyon? Are you still go in the canyon?
You know, according to Blaze, I was being really loud, you know?
2:30 in the morning in the airport. People are trying to sleep. You're playing Mafia. And I'm like, what did I say?
You say, can you shut up?
No. Never. Never.
Can you stop yelling?
Can you stop yelling? Did I tell her to shut up? Never. No. No.
Wait, Melanie did not confirm. Just for our audience at home who cannot see, Melanie refused to abide by Police's version of this.
I was willing to play
Mafia. I was Eli Miela.
I
was there too.
I think it was a couple of times. It was, Vanessa, stop yelling.
For real.
My bad.
She was really loud. And Vanessa would get really into it. But
I just,
Roberto, during the canyon, you should have seen it. The way up, it was the first time I've ever seen Vanessa without any energy. She laid down and knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
Peaceful hour of my life.
I was like, might as well just wait. And so then I took a nap. And then Enzo, when I woke up, Enzo was, you know, there.
I was awake the entire time. I was so happy. It was so quiet. I could hear the birds. I could hear the wind. I could hear people talking.
I'm used to it. So I think about those things. I do think about every danger that could potentially be around us. But then what I discovered last time is sometimes you can't account for all the dangers. Sometimes there'll be a danger that, like, just kind of comes out of nowhere, or another person that has nothing to do with the students necessarily. There was a random stranger that started putting gold flakes in Rihanna's mouth, which she had consented to. It was just a really weird. It was a hilarious moment, and also like I'm happy that worked out good.
Yes.
because this guy could have been a maniac, and then Rihanna could be seeing colors all night long.
She wouldn't even notice a difference.
My question for all of you, starting with Blaze, is what is the most, when I was talking about intrusive thoughts and I'm talking about the dangers, what's the silliest, weirdest thing that will probably never ever happen, but you're genuinely concerned about for the trip?
I really don't have an answer right now.
I'm making me a student killing another student.
Oh, my God.
Students murdering each other. Oh, you got murder on your mind today.
Oh, my God. We don't have any 3-year-olds in the canyon, so I think we're good.
Excuse me.
Do you worry about student confrontations?
No.
Do you worry about?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't want to sound like the proud organizer, the proud papa, but there's just awesome. And I've had... Well, the story goes back a few years where there's a ranger. Her name's Betsy, and...
Wait a minute. Time out. Is he papa now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost his title.
I'm trail master.
He's legally adopted us.
For a week. He did.
He did.
Well, I did too. That's why the thing came.
Listen. He did it twice, though.
All right. Yeah. So you went twice now. Did you have any, like, what were you scared of? What was the silliest thing that you were genuinely scared of?
Not much scares me in the canyon because I'm stupid, but, like, but when I went into the Colorado River, there's a lot of clay, and my feet kept on getting stuck, so I was like, what if I just, like, sink more and more, like, quicksand? But it wasn't going to happen. It's just normal clay.
Version of your stupidity scare you?
Nah.
Not, like, I might do something dumb?
I was like, if I fell from here, I might survive.
Let me jump in. That's the point that I was starting to tell you about. There's a ranger named Betsy, and she's been 18 years. She's met all of the kids.
Yeah.
In one way or another. I should say all of them, but on our... And a few years ago, she came up to me and, you know, sunglasses on, hat, whatever. And we kind of looked at it. She's like, Don? I'm like, Betsy, how... You know, and she wears a full face covering, sleeves. So she came up and gave me a hug, and the kid's like, oh, Blaze, you just got hugged by the popo. She's got a gun, a badge, tease, but over the years, she has said, Don, your kids are just amazing. A, I know they listen to you. B, they come up, they interact, they have conversations with me, and she just, she's just like, your kids are awesome, and they are. And the big thing is, and again, I always validate that you guys, but they listen, they come together. They're being with the team. Yes, I worry and I have a lot of concerns because it is a serious undertaking. It's a serious place. But they listen. And the whole coming together, I couldn't be happier.
For the internet at home, I want to point out that Mr. Blaze is a white dude. So hugging a cop has a different value. I worry that, like, the gun goes off, and then they're like, oh, no. Crazy. And then they think of how to make it look like an eye, or sprinkle crack on it, right? Chloe, what is your question for Mr. Blaze?
I don't really have a question for Mr. Blaze, but I do have a question for Lewis, who was on the trip. You told me this morning you brought home an 8-pound rock.
8-pound rock and a bunch of other different shape rocks. In total, it was like 10 pounds worth of rocks. And I gave one out today, and then I gave Miss Duffy the 2 bags of clay and then the 1 bag of sand.
So you got heart-shaped rocks. What was this 8-pound rock? Why did it have to come home with you?
It was big, and he found it, and I'm like, damn, it's a heart-shaped rock. I got to bring it home. So I brought it home from the riverbed and hiked this it for 12 miles.
I just said, Lewis, look at that big-ass heart-shaped rock. And he's like, okay, let me bring it home. I'm like, okay.
And that's how it went.
It went through a little bit of lectures, but I was still was the one carrying it out.
Yeah. We're city people, and you and I work together on a lot of really cool science projects and stuff like that. Is Kids in the Canyon something that you would consider?
First of all, please, wait. I am an island.
I want an island.
Oh, you did? Did you?
Called you out.
She called me out about growing up on an island when she's still like 14 years old. How did you even growing up yet? Okay. Would you consider Kids in the Canyon?
I did want to do Kids in the Canyon this year, but medical problems, so.
I am now looking at this 8-pound heart-shaped rock. Yeah. So your experience is different from some of the other people because you haven't been, but Melanie, you have. You've been to the canyon. You didn't go this year, right? Oh, you did go this year. So you've gone twice now?
Yes.
So you've gone twice now.
What were you most stressed out about during?
Just keeping everyone safe.
Humans.
Yep. And you know I get, you can see it. It's because I have, and again, I wouldn't take you guys to the canyon if I knew that the trust wasn't there and that I knew you couldn't handle it. But just things happen. Accidents happen. Getting up from a picnic table. Now all of a sudden you've got, you know, rangers involved and a paramedic involved and pilots and a helicopter and a hospital. Just accidents happen. So that is my ultimate concern is just keeping everyone safe.
I would say the same for me. Is Melanie more prepared for Kids in the Canyon than she is to ask questions on our podcast that she's been doing for 3 years?
Yeah, I don't. Her first year, making that bagel with cream cheese. And I don't worry about Melanie. She's very quiet, but I read her face, and there are times when I know when she's doing the, you know, the shaking the hands. I know she's tired, but you know what? They showed me that they were showing up. And I say that one of the toughest parts of Kids in the Canyon is putting up with me because I have to be the way I am for a reason. You know, you have to, there's got to be, I think it's got to be maybe a little more structured than other programs. There's got to be the buy-in because, again, when you're down the bottom of the Hermit Trail, 10 miles from legitimate help.
I'm just taking your word for it about Hermit Trail and the Devil's
Corkscrew.
Yeah.
It's legit. They are legit. I believe it. They're awesome.
How often do you do head counts?
Well, as far as our group, all the time. And what Enzo was saying, as far as splitting the two, I have Melina Cruz, who's 9 years in the can, former student, went all through high school. Now this is 5 years out. I'm like, Melina, take them up the corkscrew. And as long as we see that they're together, because you see just a trade of headlamps.
Do you have a way to communicate with Melina?
No, just be cell phone. But as long as we can see, and she knows, okay, before I go to camp, I'm going to stop and let the other group catch up, because we had a couple slower hikers. So there is a protocol, you know. Like I said, Melina, take them to the corkscrew, and 15 minutes out, 20 minutes, they're sitting there waiting. I'm like, all right, guys, stay together. Go up the corkscrew
together.
Did you do
an AMC or an outdoor leadership program?
I did. In California, and I did a mentorship in the canyon with some volunteers, yeah. And I was a former EMT and a wilderness EMT, and I was a Boy Scout.
Wait, what do you teach here at Central Falls?
I'm a special ed teacher, and I work with math students.
What's your favorite memory this year or in the years before, like in the past?
I think mixing the orange, the creamsicle with the chocolate.
Oh
my God.
That was so good.
It was good?
It was good.
Okay.
Again, cool. Sigola, thank you for
the Frosties.
Frosties, because permits.
That was honestly a good fun mixture.
And then three Frosties and fries. The conversations that we had waiting for permits, because it was cold, so we'd go to McDonald's for breakfast.
Those were like 2-hour conversations.
Well, you know, it's either that or go stand in the wind in 20, 25 degree, 30 degree.
I liked when we woke up from the room and then it was snowing. And then I just look in the van and then you're all in the van. I was like, okay, I'll just jump in.
Was this year for you better than last year because you were experienced? Or the year before, rather?
Yeah, freshman.
It was easier. I like them both because they had different things.
Yeah.
But
I met Kids in the Canyon versus Kids in the Canyon.
I think I like this year more. But I did like freshman year a lot.
Oh, my question is, why didn't me and Eli get Frosties? Or McDonald's?
Well, you guys were about 30, maybe 40 miles away.
You should have just gotten a helicopter.
Here you go.
We were close.
But we could have exploded easily.
No, but we ate good, though.
Bring us back Frosties.
We ate. 12 packets of mashed potatoes, 3 one night, and then the last night we ate 9 mashed potatoes packets.
For Trinity's birthday.
For Trinity's birthday.
I think we've had like 7.
Yeah, for sure we had 7.
One thing that I never really hear complaints about is food, because we
food is good.
Apply a lot, and I just said, guys,
I mean, after hiking the Grand Canyon, you know.
Our last night on the river, I'm like, guys, eat whatever we have.
We ate a lot.
It's much easier in the USA to take a big group and feed them than it was for us in Japan. Because when we were in Vegas a couple of months ago, do you remember what that breakfast table was like? Yeah, and they were going nuts. So I'm giving my students diabetes. That's a thing. But it sounds like you're working on it too, Joseph. Is Kids in Canyon something that you would consider? Is that something that you would do?
Maybe. I don't know.
What would hold you back? Well, like let's say you were here next year.
Technically, I'm not graduating. I might have to fail this year so I can catch up on next year.
Hell yeah, we're back next year with Joseph.
But besides that, hopefully I'll be passing next year.
Yeah, we'll get you across. So, if you had a chance to do Kids in the Canyon, what's the biggest reason you wouldn't do it?
Probably just the fact that I might go missing or die or something.
It doesn't sound like Blaze will let you go missing. It does sound like there's rattlesnakes and plenty of things to be scared of. Yeah.
You could die.
That's pretty cool. What's your question about Kids in the Canyon? Who's it for?
And speaking of dad, you know, has anyone died in Kids of the Canyon?
No. No, we've never had anyone even come close. We have had a broken leg, but that was just, a freak accident. One of our mentors, a good friend of mine, my age, in great shape. John Laurie was in great shape. He's still in great shape. He stepped on a rock the wrong way, and it was a 5-hour evacuation in emergency surgery.
Oh, man, what year?
Oh, probably maybe 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
Is that BC or AC?
But it was just he just stepped on a rock the wrong way. And again, it was an ordeal, but he got down to Flagstaff and went right into surgery. So things do happen.
You don't get to see this at home, but after Joseph, it's actually Mr. Blaze before we move on. So Mr. Blaze, you've got some of your students here. You've had all the time in the world to talk to these students, but now documented, their voices captured and recorded. Is there anything you'd like to hear them answer for the whole world to hear?
What was your initial thought when you first went to the first Kids in the Canyon meeting? What did you think?
I felt like I was in a cult.
I thought there were too many people for me. Too much. So many heads.
And
cult, too cult. Many heads.
Melanie. I'm excited to be there.
Excited to be there. Enzo? I was pretty happy since I had a lot of friends.
Actually, I thought I might drop out because I didn't think I was going to do good.
Nah, freshman year, I was thinking about dropping out like 20 times.
Why did your parents let you go to the Grand Canyon?
In the U.S.
Lois is the only thing I'm jealous of. He's the only thing because his parents said no for us. And I'm definitely jealous because that's an experience that I really wanted for you.
Man.
But yes to the Grand Canyon.
Canyon is closer.
Canyon is, man. Well, international is kind of crazy.
I think there's more death in the canyon, though.
There is.
He was a first. They believe me.
I said, if I die, it's because I want. I choose to die.
Oh, jeez.
That's literally what I told my mom.
Exactly. I'm not going to die. You think I'm going to try to die at my young age? I'm trying to be like, please, 100 BC.
Blaze. Exactly. Blaze, did you get what you were looking for? You got to ask the students something so that they can have it recorded and. You targeted Lewis and got him to say, I choose to die. So that's, we're going to have to call services after.
I was just wondering, am I really going to do this? Because I went to the Kids in the Canyon so my brother could try to go to Japan. And then he showed up to the Kids in the Canyon meeting too. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm stuck here.
What would stop you from going to Kids in the Canyon?
Probably just my asthma.
That's pretty much it. But other than that, I actually do want to go next year.
Yeah, as a dad, I worry about that all the time. But I'm sure you have solutions. What do we do for students with asthma?
I have enough albuterol for everybody.
And that is true because her freshman year, I pulled her bag out of the van. I'm like, what is in this bag? It's just an overnight, because we had a permit for an overnight down on a place called Fortune Mesa.
Yep.
And we went through her bag, and she had textbooks and AA batteries, for which she had no headlamp or whatever that took a AA battery. She was just carrying extra batteries. And then I pulled out this huge pack of albuterol, and she's like, oh, I just want to share my albuterol with people in the Grand Canyon. I'm like, oh, that's nice, but I don't know if we're going to meet a lot of people.
I didn't even need it this year.
So, but the kids with asthma, they have a plan. Kids that have allergies, they have a plan. Rescue inhaler, EpiPens, and we share that. That is shared with the group. So
I like to think that I ask about all those things, and then sometimes I'll get into the middle of a trip, and then as soon as they lay a new one on me,
it's
I'm like, oh, I have this thing.
Yep.
Like if it's a full moon. Isaiah, what would stop you from going to Kids in the Canyon?
I mean,
nice and loud, please. The room's getting a little loud.
Sometimes my mom likes to do some yard sales from her items. She most likely needs my help from that.
Family obligations?
Yeah, but I get paid as well.
Okay.
So time in it. No.
But Isaiah,
pretty much nothing else would stop me from trying to go to the canyon.
Your family's been really great and supportive about you in Steambox, and I really appreciate that. So tell them to earmuffs when this part of the podcast comes on. There comes a time when you've got to do things for you. Yeah, you want to be there, and you've helped her, and you'll help her again, but go and have these would you agree?
Yes.
Go and have that experience and then help your mom next time? You know what I mean? Like, your mom might be able to get through one. I hear you, and that's tough because I can't. You're not my child to, you know, tell you to do this stuff. But I'm telling you to do this stuff at the same time. What was your best experience in the canyon?
My best experience, the slumber parties we had. We put two tents together, and a bunch of us was just talking all night.
Me and Xavier did.
Him and another dude did. But they said I might end up with a tall Filipino woman. What are you talking about? Like, just stuff like that. It's just random. Like, slumber party, you hear that?
We made deals lifelong.
What was your favorite year in the canyon?
So I'm hearing the bonding.
That's going to be one
thing. I'm hearing the bonding.
Yeah. Bonding was the best.
What was your question?
My question was Blaze's favorite year in the Grand Canyon. It doesn't have to be students or nothing. Just his favorite year.
Every year is my favorite year. Because, you know, I told you guys when we were doing our presentations, that's a valid answer. And yes, you can't see, but I'm pointing my finger at her and I'm saying it's a valid answer. Because for once in my life, well, it's been 18 years, I can honestly say that I did something that I was truly passionate about. Because I'm passionate about teaching. I've been a teacher for 30 years. But doing Kids in the Canyon has been my true, is my compassion. I love doing it. It does give me some gray hairs. But when a student says that, you know, Kids in the Canyon opened their eyes, that means to the world, to, you know, other possibilities, to other relationships, that means a lot.
And that happens every time.
It does.
Vanessa, did you feel like that was a safe answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just doesn't want
to. Did you want to hear one of your years was the best year?
I mean, I don't know. I was just expecting another year. I don't know.
We don't tell you that we have favorites, but we do.
But you do. But I know you.
Oh.
What's up, Joseph?
So, like, what is it? What is it?
I feel like we have to start making
group.
You didn't see Herwick group, but if he was there, every year.
You would be, you'd say we did amazing.
I like the Colorado River freshman year. That day was so much.
It's one of my dreams. I haven't done that, and I'm missing a lot of continental U.S. stuff. And it sucks because I'm always trying to, like, I'm told that I'm always trying to go big.
So something that I know Blaze a lot is his story.
Wait, are there things, is Blaze a legend?
Yes.
And the world needs to know.
Listen, you should know about this man. Blaze, tell him the story of the drunk Japanese men.
Oh, my.
Did he put gold in people's
mouths? No.
Is this milkshake? I'm sorry. It's getting ahead of
me. So some teachers that I taught with in Japan would come to my apartment around 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. They had been drinking. They'd want me to go to a whiskey bar because they knew that I could sing karaoke.
Izakaya.
and that yesterday was on my playlist. So they'd come now, and then, oh, Blaise-san, you know, onegashimasu. Oh, Blaise-san, onegashimasu. So I would feel obligated that I would have to go to this bar with these guys, which they were great guys. They were fun, but it was 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would have to sing, yesterday because they wanted the white dude.
The Beatles yesterday.
Just sing. Exactly.
I think you should sing.
Yo, my
give an example. I can't.
You add for them. For them, did you add authenticity?
Let me tell you, because it's all Jules.
What's wild is it's funny. We have no problem with that. But if the situation was reversed, we'd be horrified at like how inappropriate it would be to be like, here, you do the Asian lines, and you do the Japanese lines, because it's not even an American thing. Yes, so are you a Beatles fan?
I didn't grow up in the 60s. I'm more, you know, I'm 70s, 80s. But yeah, I like the Beatles. Sure, sure.
The shoes. Did you know the Beatles, like, personally?
Like, no. You know, some of them still exist.
Yes.
Really?
What?
My God. They're not that.
So hold on. Going back to the question. He answered your question, but now he answered the question in his way and what he thinks the world should know. What is the legend that you think the world should know about Mr. Blaze?
Mr. Blaze has not only hiked the Grand Canyon, he's also gone to a lot of other places. I cannot name them completely out of my head. Short-term memory loss, excuse me. And it's a lot of names. But he has been to a lot of places, especially with Corpax. They have hiked a lot of places, and Blaze has been all over the world. Like, as someone that travels a lot, Blaze has been to places that I want to be at.
Something that the world might not know is, locally we know, but the world might not know that Viola Davis's sister is a teacher here. And when she was on the podcast, I did not make this up, I assure you. She called herself the Black Indiana Jones. She talks about with pride, and I agree that it should be like this. She talks about, you know, travel. I think somebody called it the cure to ignorance, right? It was Trevor Noah? Trevor Noah. So,
yeah.
Have you compared notes with Dr. Grant? Have you guys talked about?
We've been friends for many years, and I she's been a big inspiration of mine, and we talk about our travels and yeah, yep, absolutely.
Is Dr. Grant retiring this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her last class.
Okay, I want a pledge from you, Mr. Blaze, before we get to our last two questions. I want a pledge from you. I can be at the table, me, you, and Dr. Grant. Can come together and develop something cool around travel together.
Absolutely.
At least theorize.
Yep.
Absolutely. Figure something out.
I'm all in.
I'm down.
Yep.
I am down. You've got fundraising. I've got storytelling. Yep. Together, we've got students with a passionate loyalty to their program, which brings me to Isaiah, who is wearing Steambox right on his chest with pride today. Isaiah, I'm happy that you had a great April vacation. It sounds like you were at Six Flags, and I know you love Six Flags so much. What was the best ride there? Don't say Superman.
I wasn't going to say Superman. Good.
Nice and loud.
I mean, I've recently got used to the Harley Quinn.
Okay.
I went on it twice.
Yeah.
During break. So, like, if you're able to travel about 100 years from now, what do you think the Grand Canyon will still be the Grand Canyon, or will it be replaced with something else?
Wow.
That's it. In about 100 years from now.
Well, you've missed. Wow.
That's an awesome question.
Wow.
We did experience the fact that the National Park Service is doing a complete overhaul of the water, the main water line that runs from the south rim all the way across the canyon to the north rim, and that's a 50-year water line. So they have at least 50 years of, but who knows, with the geology, with climate change, I could only hope that my grandkids and your kids and grandkids will, and to go see not only the canyon, but the Southwest, to go see, drive up California, Oregon, Washington, go see the United States. Because I've been very lucky to travel internationally, but the United States has so much to offer. But to get back to your question, I could only hope that in 50, 75, 100 years that the canyon will remain for you guys and for your kids and grandkids to see it and experience it.
Is there one prediction, one thought that you have if you think about like climate change, or if you think about recent pandemics, or if you think about politics, if you think about the indigenous people who monetize some of the areas there? And I'm from an indigenous group myself, so I have both kinds of feelings about that.
Yeah.
Do you have one guess, one theory of how, one thing that might be very different?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about, like you said, with indigenous groups wanting to gain wealth from, I don't want to say exploiting the canyon, but using the canyon as far as like casinos or tramways from the south rim or even the western rim down to the floor of the canyon. They have that big overlook on the western part of the canyon. So I think there's been a lot of discussion and the fact that a lot of the tribal elders are not keen on having the canyon used in those types of ways. I hope to preserve. We hope it will be preserved for future generations. I think that will have a huge impact on the preservation of the canyon.
That's a really good transition to where we're going in the next conversation about AI, because a lot of people are worried about AI, not only Terminator scenarios, but even just the expertise that AI has and can develop faster than humans. So we're worried about the future of digital technology when some of it might be inevitable, right? Like, mm-hmm. So that's an interesting conversation. Isaiah, A+ question, man. Well done. So you have to follow that. Good luck. Besides murder, what else do you have on your mind? What was the dopest thing of your April vacation, by the way?
I don't go outside a lot,
so I didn't really go nowhere.
You didn't touch grass?
I did. I actually did.
Okay.
I took a whole bike ride with my cousins and Roger Williams Park, and we were there for a good 3 hours, pretty much doing nothing. So we were chilling out there.
That's my childhood.
Why does everyone have to look at me?
He's a shy guy.
I was going to ask you.
Can everybody stare at him more intensely, please?
Oh, okay.
The intensified staring continues. Does this make you nervous? Are we making you uncomfortable?
Yeah, very.
All right, we'll look away now. We'll look away so that you can ask your question. This is probably boring for our audience.
I don't think it was going to be. My question isn't really for kids in the canyon.
Go for it.
But I was going to ask Blaze, where did he travel? Like, what places? I mean, where's the places where he hiked? And that's pretty much it. Because he said he hiked a lot of places, and he doesn't know the names or of those places. So I was going to ask the word for.
I know the most amazing place I've been to in the world. I can probably name like the top three. And I would say not Grand Canyon for you. Let's exclude that because we know we want to recruit for students moving forward. So, of course, Grand Canyon. And before I hand it to Blaze, what's the most amazing place that you've been to? And there's no wrong answers here. Like if it's the library in Central Falls, there's actually a really beautiful library in downtown Providence, the Athenaeum. It's an amazing, beautiful place. So I made an example that was almost intentionally bad to express that there's no wrong answers, but
I think the nicest place I went to was Water Country in New Jersey for the summer, and we spent like the entire day there.
Yep.
And it's literally a huge water park. It was either in New Jersey or New Hampshire. I forgot which one.
Now you're talking Isaiah's language. Is that right?
But that's the farthest I've ever went. And I actually have a plan to go somewhere for my birthday.
Where?
Bora Bora. My aunt's about to take it.
What?
For my birthday.
All right. Have a good time at Bora Bora. So that's back to you. What's the most amazing place in the world that you've been to? Besides the Grand Canyon?
Probably Mount Everest, the base camp.
I
didn't climb. I did not climb. I don't want to. But we hiked for 3 months through Nepal. And the people in Nepal were amazing. So
3 months?
3 months without taking a shower or shaving.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I had this big woolly goatee right here.
Was it very gray? Like hair?
My hair was, anyway. But 3 months because we were up. At the end, we hired a guy. He had a little shack. And he climbed up a set of stairs with a big pot of hot water, and he just dumped it on us. So that's it. Was like it was the most amazing dollar shower that I've ever had.
I can't wait to sit down with you and Dr. Grant. I think Dr. Grant also had stories about Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Shout out Blue Mesa Tacos.
Yeah.
Shout out Blue Mesa Tacos. Shout
they were burger. So my next good. Time.
I heard that Mr. Oh, Blaze at the airport said STFU to Vanessa.
No.
That's what I heard.
No. That's Vanessa. We're talking about food.
Okay.
So Eli got those really good quesadillas that we shall not say what he said unless if he wants to say
nope.
We shall not say.
He's going to stop yelling.
No. But so the whole point why I'm shouting them out is because we went to their place at like, when food makes you look like that, you know,
food's good.
You want this as the profile picture with Posh?
Yes.
But so the whole point is that we went there at like 10, 11-ish. It was like, it was late. They're already closing up. We all go. Me and Eduardo go to the burgery right next to it. They give Eduardo a discount on his food for no reason. They just give him a discount. He has enough money to pay. They just discounted him. And then when I go, I pay for my food, but I forgot to get a drink. And I got a drink, I got money for the drink right after. So when I go and ask for a Sprite, they gave me the Sprite for free. And then I turn around and I see that Lewis actually notices that they have on the wall a poster that says the world's nicest airport. And it just seemed so fitting that they just did that. Give me a discount. Give me a free drink. Shout out, bro. Shout out to Phoebus.
I like how every year Kids with Candy, it's just like it becomes like your friend group. Like even if like you don't know the people like in the beginning, you end up becoming like best friends. You guys all become like one big family.
Oh yeah, we walked into Hermit as like friends, and now we're just like family.
You might have done this, but if you haven't, I would strongly encourage. Do you remember, besides your mortal enemy that you made that day, do you remember the Friendsgiving?
Yes, I made friends with all those old people.
Generations of Steambox students. Generations. And you got 18 years on Kids in the Canyon. Steambox has been around for 10 years. 10 years, it seems like not that much of a difference from you guys, but they have jobs and kids now and all this stuff and families. And it was so wild to pull everybody together and feed everybody. Like, here's my family. Because you're making these amazing connections. Each group has its own connection each year. Have you pulled them together yet?
We just had that conversation about getting... You did. And we're definitely going to... The one thing about Kids in the Canyon, that the key people that organize it are all former students or all graduates
yeah.
of Pulse High School. And they just come back year after year, you know, 16, 17, 15, 14 years, Melina, 9 years. And just because it's impossible to even think about taking this on, you know, as a single person or a couple people. It's just, it's way too big then. But yes, to get like a reunion would be because... you know, Kids in the Canyon has helped a student go into the Peace Corps and a couple of students become electricians. And it's just having the conversation, you know, having someone or a group to sound things up, you know, just and make connections and network. And that's what I tell the kids. You know, we have people from all different walks.
You talked about that aha moment earlier. You talked about like that moment when people get it or when not only they get it, but like you could tell that there's meaningful change happening.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful moment. Those are the moments for us. For your educators, those are the moments Absolutely. For us. When you pull them all together, when you do this, that whole night, it's really hard to not cry the whole night, right? Just to have all of your babies together in one place.
Yep.
Last word, Kids in the Canyon, anything else the world needs to know?
Blaise all right. is 100 years BC, years old yep. before Christ. Oh. 100.
Blaise is older 100. Than Christ?
Yeah.
Let's see the canyon in 100
years. Blaise here when the Ten Commandments were written. Blaise is here when Moses parted the sea.
He was here when the dinosaurs were on her. Okay. Blaise played basketball with the T-Rex.
Blaise, I have a question.
I hope name the Bible.
I hope nobody gets mad at me. It's an honest question. I mean it honestly. If you hiked with Jesus, was it really some like Son of God stuff, or was he like an early time magician?
No, I just really liked his sandals so much that I went
like
bought sand- there. I liked sandals.
You got see
there?
That was one of those.
You
got down with some of those ear Jesus. Steampunks from Central Falls, my warriors. This has been another podcast. This is with Mr. Blaze. Please find out more about Kids in the Canyon. Where can we find out more?
KidsInTheCanyon@yahoo.com is my email. So please email me. And our website is, it's at Brown University right now because he's getting his PhD.
kidsinthecanyon@yahoo.com. Please email me, and I can definitely, I'd love to have a conversation.
We'll check him out.
Oh, Leo.
And if you are looking for a new group to fund, it seems like you've just heard students talking about how amazing their experience has been and how transformative it's been. Steampunks from Central Falls, please say peace out to the world.
Peace out.